I don't think I have any relevant financial relationships, but if we have any philosophers in the audience, as Daryl said, I'm employed by the American College of Radiology. It is not a commercial entity. It's a 501c3 educational and scientific charitable organization, and it doesn't get any income from anything I'm talking about here, and now you philosophers can go off and decide what that constitutes. Well, I try to go into my talk. More or less standard set of items here, and I'm going to focus on results. But why do we want to be interested in the productivity and efficiency of procedural physician practice is my title. Well, two kind of reasons. One is that there seems to be a widespread expectation of a physician shortage, and if you can increase productivity and efficiency, that's a way to address or solve that shortage. And the other is we all worry about healthcare costs, and if we can increase productivity and efficiency, that ought to do something about the cost problem. Radiology is particularly good to study for a number of reasons. It's a particularly rapidly growing category of cost. Physician practices are decreasingly becoming solo practices and more getting to medium and large size groups, and radiology is ahead in that, so we can look at what's likely to happen for physician practices in general. And there are a lot of production technologies, I'll talk about some, that radiologists use that it's interesting to ask, do these really increase productivity, or are they just something that the salesman is trying to sell you? And finally, radiology's output is relatively straightforward as opposed to hospital work and office visits, characteristic of most physicians. Radiologists, while they function both at the hospital and non-hospital location, pretty much just interpret imaging examinations, and an examination can be anything from a chest x-ray, which is at a fairly simple end, to let's say a head CT, which is more complex. A little bit more on why we get into this. There's a large literature on efficiency. It's almost all, however, devoted to hospitals. I think because hospital cost reports are readily available in the public record, and so we as researchers go where the available data are. Only five of over 300 efficiency studies deal with physician practices, and none that we know of deals with specialists rather than primary care docs. And we're going to look at several questions here. Let me just mention a couple of these. With this notion of a physician shortage, we want to ask if practice and the trend towards bigger practices, we want to ask, do you get more output per physician if the practice size grows? And also, as one way to handle more work is to work longer hours, you want to ask what happens to output as hours get longer. There's also some literature on the relative efficiency of group practices versus solo practice and some other factors that we'll get to. Our data source consists of two surveys that the American College of Radiology did, one in 2003 with about 1,000 respondents, the other in 2007 with roughly half as many respondents. In both cases, they're stratified samples, and we've weighted them to make them representative of all radiology practices. How does one look at productivity and efficiency. We've chosen one of the two widely used tools called stochastic frontier analysis. You've got some more details of the econometrics there, but a picture is worth a thousand words, so let me try to show you the idea of this. If anyone is into the econometrics of it, I'll talk the little bit I know at question period. The concept is that you have some input, and it could be, let's say, the hours per week worked by a radiologist. And actually, in application, you have a whole bunch of input variables. And you have an output, and for us, it's the number of examinations interpreted. And what you see is a scatter of points, kind of like those green ones. The model constructs a frontier which tells you the best you can do. You may ask, gee, why are some people doing better than the best you can do? And that's because any data, the fancy word is stochastic, the less fancy word is dirty. And then you can try to measure an efficiency of any given practice. If we see a practice at B, with its inputs, it could be up at A, and so its efficiency is the height from C to B divided by the height from C to A, and that one looks to be running at about two-thirds efficiency. And there it is, all in equations, and again, I'll come back to that if anyone is into it. I'd like to spend most of my time on results. And first of all, what do we find out about efficiency? Well, we find out that the bigger the practice is, the more procedures in total. And our dependent variable is the total number of interpretations the practice as a whole does per year. The interpretations grow with the size of the practice, but it's not one for one. It's about 0.7 for one. Similarly, we ask, okay, if the radiologists are working longer hours per year, which is a combination of hours per week and how many days they work as opposed to vacation, again, we find they do produce more if they work more hours per year, but it's not one for one. It's about 0.5 for one. And I'll come back to what does all that mean. Then some of these production technologies. In the old days, the radiologist would take the X-ray film out of a folder, put it up on a light board, look at it, figure out what's there, dictate a report, and put it back in the sleeve. In the not-so-old days, but this is still now almost completely a thing of the past, there were support staff who hung the films and took them down. And we compared the productivity with the radiologist hanging and taking down films versus support staff. And the radiologist gets done about 18-19% more with support staff. Well, this is the modern world. We replace people with mechanized technology, and there's now something called PACS, which records the images electronically. There's no physical film. The radiologist has a computer. He clicks a button. The image comes up on the screen. He or she looks at it when he's through interpreting it and dictating his report. He clicks the button and the next one comes up. The PACS does about the same. Also 18-19% better than if the radiologist were hanging and taking down films. Now, I said radiologists dictating reports. In the old days, radiologists used to dictate into a microphone and that was stored, and there were folks called transcriptionists whose job was to type that up, and then the radiologist would check it and correct it and sign off on it. Currently, the predominant way of doing things is that the radiologist dictates, the computer has speech recognition software, the report appears as the radiologist talks, and the question is, does this speed up or slow down what's happening for the radiologist? And the answer is, it's about neutral. I've talked about a couple of productivity things. Let me look at a couple of efficiency things and again give you some pictures. Average efficiency is roughly 75%, but academic practices are significantly less efficient. We think that's because academics do things other than just interpret images. In particular, when they're interpreting images, they're usually doing it with trainees at their side and explaining what's going on, and that slows them down. We also looked at what sort of examinations does the practice do. The vast bulk of practices do both x-rays and other things like CTs. Those that do only non-x-rays have a lower efficiency, and that's because the other things are more complex and time-consuming. And the last thing I'll mention here is something called Nighthawks. Anyone heard of Nighthawks? It's a familiar concept to the economist, but Nighthawk is an external firm to which you contract out your night and usually weekend coverage. It had been the case that radiology firms had somebody who just took the night shift. That person typically didn't have too much work to do, but somebody had to be on duty, and they were, if you will, consuming a whole day's work shift, or rather a whole night's work shift, but not getting a heck of a lot of work done. Whereas when you ship the images out, and this is done electronically in real time, the firm can be reasonably efficient, and you see that here that firms with Nighthawks are more efficient. I think that's enough in talking about O3 efficiency. The pool data give basically similar results. The one thing I'd add is that we find efficiency increasing over time, and here's the picture of that. And the reason for that, I think, is we don't, in the 2007 survey, have information on production technologies used, but the productivity-enhancing technologies are spreading, and I think this is really just a change in production technologies. Well, what does this all mean? We're finding these less than proportional increases in outputs with practice size, which means that as practices get larger, if anything, the amount of work getting done is going to be less rather than more. One could have a number of theories. Economists tend to look at the fact that when I'm a solo practice, I get every dollar I make. If I'm a 10-person practice, I get only 10 cents on the dollar, so why work so hard? But we ought to also think that there are managing costs associated with running a 10-person group, and on the other hand, we generally think there are scale efficiencies, and my theory here is management costs offset scale efficiency. Why are people less productive per hour when they work longer hours? Well, I think we all know that we only work at peak speed for a limited amount of time. But my other theory on that, there may be two cultures. One culture is get in, bat the work out, and go golfing, or go join the family. And the other culture is I enjoy my colleagues, I work at a leisurely pace, I chat with them. It takes me more time, but I enjoy my work better. But as I think I've said, the ongoing consolidation of physicians into larger groups is not going to help out with a physician shortage. My story about speech recognition software suggests that not all technologies really help, and if you're ever deciding to put a new operational technology in, be a bit skeptical. I also ought to mention at this point that the primary beneficiary of the speech recognition software is the doctor who's treating the patient, who instead of having to wait for that dictated report to get transcribed, gets the dictated report as soon as the radiologist is finished talking, virtually. And finally, it's fun to talk about the concept of Nighthawks, because this is, when you think of physicians as a firm and think of conventional economics, this is just contracting out those aspects of firm work that the firm can't do, can only do inefficiently in-house. And you know, that's something we say all the time, and this is the old make versus buy decision. It's just that physician practices are not used to the concept that they have a make versus buy decision, and that buy is an option for them. But it's interesting in this context, we've recently seen something called hospitalists, and that's, it seems to me, a buy rather than make. And it means that the physician who has been used to running back and forth between the office and the hospital instead contracts to an outsider the work at hospital, doesn't run back and forth, and also presumably the hospitalist is more skilled at those ailments and problems one sees in the hospital as she or he is spending full time at it. Thank you. I'm sorry. Medical care in December. We'll have the paper. Questions?
Yes, I want to ask a really common man sort of stupid question. But when I talk to people in the radiology room, they say that the dose of Rutkins has gone down, that the level of fine detail is greatly enhanced. And I'm just wondering, do we need radiologists looking at all these films, or could this be something that was done by a tech, or could people be TV program be trained to look at a narrower range of the films to make the guys less necessary
in hospital pay? The radiologists will certainly tell you that techs can interpret it. In the UK, where there's an acute shortage of radiologists, I know techs are interpreting some simple things like arms and legs, is it broken? And there's another whole side to this story, if you will, which is, for instance, the gastroenterologist will say, hey, I can look at a film dealing with gastroenterological problems and tell better what it is than the general radiologist who looks at films about a million and one things. And radiology is fairly along and becoming somewhat subspecialized as a result.